time to wake up. It's Saturday morning. Find some milk and cereal. Grab a bowl and spoon. No, a bigger spoon. Head to the living room and take a seat on the floor while Joseph and Chris present to you
Saturday Morning Cartoon!
Hello everybody, welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoon Boom! This is the show where we wake up with a Saturday morning sun, plop down in the living room for the big bowl of sugary cereal, and watch all your favorite cartoons, both old and new. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris!
I'm pretty sure that's Chris.
I'm Chris.
He's rocking out today.
Yeah.
We're both rocking out today, because this morning, we watched Jace and the Wheeled Warriors.
Wheeled Warriors!
Chris, there's a power that comes from deep inside of you, I feel like.
I always knew about this power deep inside of me. And sometimes, when I have enough to eat, I let it out.
But sometimes, you're reaching for the light. I don't know. I don't remember the lyrics exactly, but it was something to that effect.
Yeah. This theme song, dude.
The theme song, like, rocked it out. Like, it was totally a product of its time.
Oh, yeah. This thing was so 80s. It was, like, just like, yeah! It reminds me of, like, the Transformer movie soundtrack.
Yeah.
Not the crappy Michael Bay ones, the cartoon ones that were, legitimate.
Yeah. Those. It had that, like, backbeat. It's just like, bing, 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 bing. Like, it had the, like, thing going on the whole time while this was happening. They would have heard it by now, the audience. So, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And you know that it's awesome.
Exactly. So who suggested this show to us?
This was suggested by Brody via Facebook. So thank you, Brody. This was Brody's first suggestion for our show. So thanks for being a listener and suggesting this.
Yes, thank you very much. You made Chris rock out at the beginning. He's going to lose his voice from that one line.
Yep, it's done. It's done.
It's over. Show's over.
Show's over. Go home.
So the show, like we said, it was Jason and Wheeled Warriors, ran from 85 to 86, created and developed by Mattel, which I'll go into, but developed by Gene Shalapin and J. Michael Straczynski, which is really cool because you know who that is.
Yes, he is one of my favorite comic book authors of all time.
Yeah, he wrote for Amazing Spider-Man for quite a while.
And he wrote for Thor for a very long time. They even feature him in the Thor movie, the live action. He gets a cameo with Stan Lee.
Oh, nice.
Really awesome. But if you've never read it, check out 10 Grand. It's two graphic novels written by him. I wish it would have gone longer, but it was only two volumes. Super cool, not for kids. So yeah. If you're an adult and you're into, like, cool supernatural stuff and fighting demons and things like that, yeah, check that stuff out. It's great. 10 Grand.
Sweet. J. Michael Straczynski.
Yes.
And this was also produced by Deke Entertainment and Mattel, ran for only one season, but it was 65 episodes, so quite a bit. Initially, it ran syndicated, and then it aired on the USA Network from 95 to 96, so 10 years after it started, it went over to USA, and also on the Sky Channel, Premiere, and Channel 4 in the UK.
Wow. So yeah. This thing got a lot of action, is what you're saying.
Surprisingly, but what's weird is
surprisingly,
I had never even heard of it.
I had heard the name, but I would have completely forgotten about it if it hadn't been recommended.
Yeah, yeah. And for a synopsis of this, for anyone unclear, a young man leads a small band in search of his father while fighting the forces of Sawboss using the various vehicles they carry with them.
Sawboss
is one of the weirdest, coolest boss names that I've heard, period.
Honestly, I was just like, that's so bad.
Yeah.
Like, who came up with the name of Sawboss? Like, it's like they had little kids name their villain.
What I don't understand is how it applies to this boss at all.
Because they have saws.
I guess he is the boss of saws, but they don't all have saws. That would make more sense.
And they don't always have saws.
Yeah.
But sometimes they have saws, and he's the boss. Therefore, Sawboss.
Sawboss.
It sounds like a monster truck, you know?
Yeah.
Sunday, watch Bigfoot.
Versus.
Go across Sawboss.
Yeah.
Bigfoot gets cut down by Sawboss.
Oh, that's a good way to say it.
It is a bad name, I agree, but it has a lot of lasting power. I will never forget the name Sawboss.
Sawboss. Hang on.
Sawboss buries the gravedigger.
Oh, nice. Man, you should be an announcer for the Monster Truck Rally.
Buy your seats now, but you'll only need the edge.
Sawboss. Oh, I love that guy. So, like we were saying, I had never heard of it before. This is my first time, period. Chris has heard the name before, but he had never seen it. So, new to both of us, basically.
Yep.
So, Chris, who are some of the actors you played in this one?
So, the cast was mostly a group of unknowns, or they haven't done a whole lot. So, I'm just going to go through these real quick. So, the voice of Jace was provided by Darren Baker. The voice of Gillian was provided by Charles Joliffe. The voice of Oon, provided by Luba Goy. The voice of Flora, provided by Valerie Politis. The voice of Herc Storm Sailor, provided by Len Carlson. And Sawboss, provided by Julio Cucurugia.
Sawboss. We have to say it just like that every time we say it.
Sawboss.
I know.
I think that's how they intro it even or something. It's like pronouncing a name wrong. That's how you have to pronounce it. So for a few tasty marshmallows out of a big bowl of Wheeled Warrior cereal, unlike He-Man, no backstory was given with the toys for the Lightning League and the Monster Mines doing battle. So distinct characters were created by Deke and J. Michael Straczynski to allow for a structured story, quote unquote. This was definitely a set of toys first, and Mattel's just like, hey, make a series out of this because it's going to be a hit. And they weren't correct, but, you know, they tried. All they gave the studios were basically like, here's the toys, come up with an idea, period. We have no backstory. It's just these dudes fighting in wheeled vehicles. I don't even know if they were in space or anything.
I'm glad that you shared that because that is exactly how I thought this cartoon must have come about.
Yeah.
Like, especially with a name like Sawboss. Like, Mattel right. had to just make some toys and be like, please, like, turn this into something so we can sell these toys.
You know what? Yeah, because I'm sure he was a toy first as Sawboss. And so they had to just run with it. They're like, well, let's make some dudes with saws in there, too, so we can be the boss of them.
And honestly, like, just because of some of the character designs, I feel like they must have taken, like, toys from other properties that they decided not to actually do anything with and used it for this. Because Oon does not fit in whatsoever with anything else in this show.
Oon is basically Orko of this story.
Right.
If from He-Man lore, for anyone.
He is a tiny robot jouster in space. Like, he's a little robot, and he's got, like, his robot form kind of looks like a tiny knight.
Yeah.
And he has a lance, so he can joust, which he never does.
I want to talk about this a little bit more in depth in a little while, but there's this knight, you know, Oon, and then there's a wizard, Gillian, and it's like, these don't fit this universe at all. Somehow this was all meshed together.
Yeah.
Okay, but we'll talk about it in a second. So
okay.
For the next interesting marshmallow, an uncredited, unfinished comic based on the series was published in the French comic magazine Pif Gadget, number 922. It included characters created specifically for the comic, and ended in a cliffhanger that has never been resolved because they never made a part two of it.
I completely missed that one somehow.
Yeah, right. Since it, not only because it was way before our time, but also because it was in a French magazine. Seems like something I would have run across at some point.
Yeah, I feel like I would have, but yeah. Nope, I haven't done it yet. Nope. Haven't seen it.
And yeah, I guess there was a cliffhanger. It was never resolved, so who knows what happened.
It's literally Jace hanging from a cliff.
Yeah, he's hanging off of it, right. And lastly, this cartoon was to have ended with a feature film in which Jace finally reunited with his father, but because the action figure series was a flop, the movie was scrapped and never produced. This is a situation where the animated series was supposed to drive sales to the toys, but in a way, because the animated series was almost completely unrelated to the toys, and it was only the look that the toys kept, it did not drive those sales. Even though the show was relatively popular for its time, since the two were interconnected and the toys didn't succeed, the show faltered because of it.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, like, none of these characters look like they belong in the same place. Like,
no.
I don't know. Jace looks like some sort of Mad Max thing. Then we've got Gillian, you know, he's like a wizard. And then we've got this little knight robot that looks like it's something out of Shovel Knight and like a little cutesy thing. And then
Herc Storm Sawboss. Sailor. Oh, yeah. Sawboss.
Sawboss looks like a Dragon Ball Z villain.
Right. Oh, completely. He's a giant Cyberman, basically.
Yeah, he really is. So I'm like, ugh.
Herc Storm Sailor is basically Han Solo. Basically, he's Han Solo in everything but hairstyle, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Like, even his clothes are similar.
Yeah. He pilots a big ship, big, like, freighter ship. I mean, it's the Millennium Falcon, just not as cool looking. I guess let's go ahead and jump into the episodes we watched for today's show so we can get into this. The very first episode, highest rated episode, and finally, random listener chosen episode. Order may vary depending on how these episodes fall chronologically, but of course we have to start with the very first episode being Escape from the Garden, Season 1, Episode 1. And this kind of gives a mini backstory on what happens and how Jace is in search of his father. Well, okay, so there's kind of a cool idea behind this. The execution, not so great all the time, but the idea is that Jace's father, Audric, is some kind of... He's a scientist who works with plants, and his idea is to create a plant that can end world hunger forever. I don't know what world, because they're not on Earth or anything, so I guess just universal hunger.
And also, how would a plant do that? I mean, because if you eat the plant, it's gone.
I guess it just continuously produces. I have no idea. But they didn't explain that at all. But he succeeded. However, the very moment that he succeeded, and here's where the craziness comes in, this star explodes and sends off some nuclear radiation or something, a nuclear wave that hits his experiments and creates these monster, what were they, monster minions or something?
Monster mines.
Monster mines, right. Sawboss being the first one created, so he's like, I'm boss, I came first, so I lead. And that's kind of how it started.
Well, my favorite thing with this is, like, as they're, you know, giving us this flashback and showing us what happened, it was like the second that these things started turning into, like, these anthropomorphic plant things, like, before they even fully change, like, Jace's father is like, oh, he's like, the mutant minds, they're ruthless. And I'm like, you don't even know what they are yet. Yeah. Like, they haven't even turned into the mutants yet. Yeah. he automatically has a name for them and knows what they're like. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He just assumes. He's like, it's like in the back of his mind, he's always like, if these plants ever come to life, I know they're going to be wanting to take over
evil.
The world. They're going to be evil, yeah. For all the terrible things we've done to them over the years.
Yeah. So I guess they kind of like kidnap him or something. Or he goes into hiding, or I don't know exactly what happened.
It's one of those. And so what happens is he creates this, Jace's father, Audric, creates this root that's supposed to stop the monster mines. I don't know why he doesn't use it right then, but I guess he can't for some reason yet. So he breaks it in half. And gives the other half, or sends the other half to Jace. And that's kind of where the primary plot is, for Jace to meet up with his father so that they can combine roots and stop Sawboss.
But instead, his father can't get to him, and they can't get to his father. So our little jouster guy robot, Un, has that piece of bark or the root or whatever. Mm-hmm. In a pendant and gets that to Jace, where like I was kind of confused by this. Were they in some sort of like little dome where it's all grassy and nice, but the outside of that dome is all like just looks like hell? Like, it's just, there's no plant life, it's just all rocky and gross. And
it was kind of like post-apocalyptic, or it was just they were the only settlement on this planet, because I don't know where it took place exactly. I don't know if it was clear with that.
I don't think they told us really going on.
But they are just under that shielded orb. And I'm assuming, I don't even know if there's oxygen on the outside or not, but this is how they're protected. And something to add just to kick it off is that the monster mines, there are only like maybe four or five main ones, but they continuously can sprout like clones of themselves, which the main ones are the larger of those groups. And they, like, when they turn, they also can turn into vehicles at will, like some with saws, some without, and some with weird smiley faces on them. But they, So the boss monster mines are the bigger vehicles, and their minions are the smaller versions of those same vehicles. And then this is all, it's produced, I believe, by sunlight. So it's basically like these plants are soaking in the sun's rays and replicating based on those and producing a larger army. So this is a way for them as a cartoon to basically destroy these monster mines, and for them to be there. It's almost like how in Ninja Turtles, the Foot Clan in the cartoon, the Foot Clan are robots so that they can just continuously destroy them and it not be a big deal. So in this way, these are just like clones of the original ones. The original ones don't get hurt, but these clone ones do. So they're able to spare them, and they just keep making more. So this is how they keep the show going, is by doing that.
Right. And as you said, these are basically plant versions of the Transformers. So these mutant plant guys turn into basically monster trucks. And on top of those monster trucks are these big like vines, and one might have a buzzsaw. One just might be like a plant with teeth from like the Zelda games and stuff, or it might just have like a plant with a gun.
I guess it shoots seeds out.
It's that ridiculous.
Yeah, it is so absurd. Like, this is how you know it was toys first, because it's just the fact that they were able to tie it into any kind of cohesive story, as loose as it is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of impressed with with Michael J. Straczynski's ability to make something out of pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I need to describe what a few of these people are like. So Gillian, which is the wizard guy we talked about, I don't understand him. He doesn't fit in well. His dialogue is pretty bad. Like, there's some really awkward line delivery. The weirdest part is he looks like he must be really efficient, because he's basically wearing a rolled up yoga mat on top of his head.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm like, how does he not tip over? Because that thing looks way heavier than the rest of his body, because he's very frail looking. He looks like Dumbledore or something.
He's also, I think, 1,000 years old or something like that. So he's an elder looks wizard, like, but he's also a mechanic. So that's a handy thing to have.
That is, you know, in all of my years, I've never seen a mechanic and magician at the same time, you know, being this one and the same. So Flora is basically a little girl, but I believe she's made of plants.
Yeah, she's
like,
not.
She was created by.
She was created
Jason's
by Audric.
Dad.
Yeah, so it's his sister, kind of, but it's not really his sister.
It's more like because, his pet plant.
Kind of, but she's
that turned
also
into his sister.
Her usefulness is, and I don't know why they didn't just make her Audric's daughter, but her usefulness is she's able to communicate with plants as well as animals.
She's honestly pretty much the most like useful person of this bunch, and they don't even use her that much. Yeah. But she's the only one that seems to do anything right.
And then, like we talked about before, there's Herc Storm Sailor, who comes in later.
What a name. Herc Storm Sailor.
He's kind of a mercenary. I don't know, a smuggler maybe. He's Han Solo, like we said. And he even picks them up in a similar fashion, where they hire him, or Gillian and Jace hire him. Gillian uses some, was it like a pile of lead? And he just like magically made it look like gold or something?
Yeah, so Gillian's like big trick that he can do is just kind of disguise things. Like, make it appear to be something else. So he had a giant mountain of lead for some reason. I mean, who doesn't
right.
have a giant mountain of lead? And he makes it look like it's gold, but it's only going to last a few hours. So they basically got to trick Herc into helping them. But it's funny how he shows up, because, like, they're just sitting there, like, you know, Gillian's been fixing up some cars. And Herc shows up, and he's just like, hey, do you have any spare parts? And Gillian's like, of course, and, like, hands him the spare part. And then Jason's like, can we get a ride? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. If you give me money. And then they give him that. But what's funny is, if Gillian's 1,000 years old and his best skill is to make that lead into gold temporarily, that's like if Jesus turned water into wine, but then it turned right back into water. Like,
that'd be
after
weird.
A little while.
Especially like if you drank it.
Yeah.
And you got really drunk, and then all of a sudden it turned back into water, and you were immediately sober.
Yeah, it's kind of that.
And then you might find yourself in a weird place.
Right. And very hydrated.
Oh, we got to talk about the Ring of Leadership.
Oh my gosh, the Ring of Leadership.
Yeah, that might be the best part.
Okay, so their team, like I was saying earlier, is called the Lightning League for some reason. They just make it up on the spot, it sounds like.
Because it sounds cool.
Yeah, the Lightning League, because they strike like lightning or something, some tagline.
I don't even think they say that. I don't know.
You can only use it, of course, just so no one takes it or anything, if your heart and purpose are pure. So it can't be taken by Saw Boss and the rest. They right. have to, like, it has to stay with the good guys.
And luckily, it's just, like, right by where they're, you know, working on those vehicles. They just walk up this little cliff, and there's some crystals, and he presses one down, and out pops this ring that I guess has been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's where they were. Like, it just happened to be there.
Oh, there's also these little robot dogs called Zoggies.
Oh, yeah, those belong to Flora.
They belong to Flora. I don't know what purpose they serve. I guess they're supposed to just be cute or maybe sell Zoggy toys at some point if they had succeeded. But so there's some just random things.
The ring. What the ring does is the ring lets, not only can he be a leader, but Jace can basically like telepathically control, you know, cars.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but the Lightning League and the ring and then cars. And then Gillian gives him his own like vehicle called
Armed Force,
which is funny because it's super small compared to everything else. He gives him the tiniest little thing, and it has crane
one feature.
Arm on the back.
Yeah, it's got the crane arm.
That's all it does. Like it can't be used for anything else.
Well, it's an armed force. It has one arm, and that's it.
So stupid. And there's a lot of really. You know, I was saying earlier, there's some weird line delivery with Gillian, but Jace has some too. Like, because he's really awkward. Like, he'll say Yahoo or Yeehaw, but he's like Yahoo or Yeehaw, and I'm yeah. like, there doesn't really need to be a space in between. It's not two words; it's just one. But.
He's questioning whether he's excited or not. Yee,
yeah,
ha,
ha,
yeah. Oh man. The ring, just to skip ahead a little bit on this episode, this was...
I know where you're going with this.
This part made me... Like, before, I was like, okay, maybe this is going to start going somewhere. But then after no. this happened, it got complete... Like, logic was thrown out the window. I was like, okay, it's this kind of show. Got it. Okay, so what happens is, at the last second, right when Jace needs it, he's like... I think Gillian's like, Jace, use the ring. And he uses it. And it turns him into a giant playing card, basically. And
that's what I wrote down, too. It's a playing card.
Yeah, because he's literally just turns into like a flat. I don't know how to describe it. And he just starts like cutting through the enemies.
All right, but let's give it some context, because that'll make sense in the context.
Okay, go for it.
So, I forgot what they're called already. So the monster minds are like, oh, hey, let's go get that piece of root. So Sawboss is like, hey, go get it. And his guys go out there and they're attacking. And then they're like, oh, we got to get out of here. So they get on Herc's spaceship and it's trying to take off. But they grabbed it and it can't take off and stuff. And Jace climbs on top of it for some reason. Oh, he starts shooting a gun on the top of it at them. But he's not inside, I guess. Because spaceships need guns you have to control on the outside. That's a great idea.
Of course.
No, not a design flaw at all. They like hit the ship and he falls off. And that's when dude's like, use the ring. So, I mean, what else would it do but turn him into a giant playing card that slices through things and flattens him to about, you know, not even a half inch thick. Just.
Yeah. So. It's like not only does it turn him into a weird playing card, but it also like he knows immediately what to do. It's like his destiny was to become this playing card right then and just to save the day.
Maybe that's how they're selling their Jason the Wheeled Warrior playing cards.
Yeah, their poker set.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But after that happened, I was just like, oh man, I can't wait to see where this goes because this is ridiculous. And there's not even no one's surprised by it either. No one's like,
no.
Jeez, how did it feel being turned into a playing card? Like, what just happened? Everyone's just like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to do. Yeah. This is the ring of leadership or whatever.
no one questions it because he's the leader, because he has the ring of leadership. just like the others don't question Sawboss because he is the boss.
I wonder if that ring or if that playing card form comes into play in any of the rest of the episodes.
I really hope so.
There's 65 of them. I imagine it has to at some point.
Oh, what if he meets like the rest of the deck?
Oh my gosh.
What would he even do?
They have a full house or something.
Oh my goodness.
Boom. So the close of this episode, they're just like something about lightning. And they're like, we're unstoppable. Like space lightning.
Space lightning.
Yeah. Unstoppable.
Oh man. Herc gets crabby because the gold turns back to lead and he realizes he's been duped. But he lets them stay on the ship so long as they promise to actually pay him eventually.
Right. So he's not a great, I don't know, he's not a great smuggler or mercenary. He's just like, he allows IOUs, basically.
Right, exactly.
Instead of just dumping them off the ship. But I guess after you see this guy turn into a trading card, you're just like, okay, I should probably not upset these people.
Right, because what if like he gets turned into like a poker chip?
Yeah.
You know, what's he going to do?
Exactly. I don't know what he might do next. I'm afraid of this ring. I'm here out of
right?
fear.
Yeah.
So that jumps us over to the next episode we watched for today's show, which was Doomflower, season 1, episode 30.
This was the random pick. I picked this one, and I picked this just because I thought the name was funny. Doomflower. Because, I mean, you can't have something like Doom and then something bright and cheerful in the same name. This is ridiculous.
Oh, yes, you can, because they did it.
Plus, it's like right in the middle of the, pretty much right in the middle of the entire series.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to check in and be like, okay, where are we at in the middle? Because the highest rated is the very last episode of the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, we need to see the beginning, the middle, and the end. So this is interesting.
So we find out that this one's very slave heavy. Like, it's about Sawboss and his he's made humans his slaves and has them trying to, I guess, help to build this like teleporter or something to get him to another dimension so that he can have access to, like, I don't know, a million suns and reproduce quicker so that he can form a huge army. That's the idea of it. This episode starts with Herc being sick for
I don't really know
that that has any kind of resolution. I mean, it gets resolved, but it's like, what was the point of it?
There was literally no point.
Yeah, it just was there. It just happened. There's this black nebula or something, and that's where these slaves are. Herc knows people in the slave trade, so they sit down, like Jason, everybody sits down at this bar, this cantina, and talks to this pirate wolf guy.
I actually liked him. He looked cool.
He did look cool. His voice sounded dumb, but he looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
Does Jace find out that Audric, his father, is aboard the slave ship too?
The guy says something about Audric having been there. Jace wants to get on and find his father. So he needs to be disguised so he can blend in. And this is my favorite part of the whole show.
This is
the disguise.
Before you say this part, this is where you see even further that this is made to sell toys. Go ahead.
Okay, so Gillian's like, oh, I have to disguise you so you can sneak aboard. So he does this little spell, and all it does, this is literally all that happens, is his armor changes to gray, and that's it.
No, and you're wrong, Chris. His armor does turn to gray, but in addition to that, his hair turns bright orange. And
it didn't really even turn. It barely changed color at all.
But Gillian was so shocked by that. He's like, I was wondering what your hair would look like in a black nebula outfit.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, he was like, I wonder what your hair would look like. I'm like, it didn't even change. Yeah. Like, it looks like somebody just turned on an additional lamp in the room that they're in. and nothing. It didn't change color. So we didn't even say that Jace has this brown hair with like this white kind of stripe going down the middle. And it looks so bad.
Yeah.
And literally it stays just like that. I'm like, if he's going to be disguised, like, how is that going to help if he still looks the same?
Yeah. It's just like they added highlights to his hair. They didn't change the color or anything. They could have made him a blonde. They could have taken the stripe out. They could have done anything else. But instead they're like, let's slightly change the color palette a little bit.
The only other person we have seen with that same hair is his dad. So if he's trying not to look like he's going to look for his dad, it's not going to work very well because he looks exactly the same.
Or some of the Thundercats even.
But, and they don't even like, he doesn't even try to hide the pendant. It's on the outside of his armor for everyone to see.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God, it made no sense.
This is just like, I'm sure there's like a Black Nebula toy line where they actually get to see, or where we actually get to see them in their, in his dark outfit. And also he changes the vehicle too. He changes Armed Force into, I think it's like, I don't remember if it changes the function of it. Yeah, like it. Oh, and he changes Oon as well. Oon becomes a janitor robot instead.
Yeah, which pretty mean, much means he looks exactly the same, but he has a mop.
Yeah, instead he just of gets a like a broom instead of his magic lance.
Yeah, which isn't even magic, as Korra points out in the first episode.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a lance.
Yeah, he always calls it his magic lance, but even Flora's like, too bad it's not magic.
Yeah, Flora's the most real out of everybody, and
she's a plant girl.
Yeah, she's a plant girl, and she's the most real of them all.
So they get on this ship, but like these slaves, they're rebelling basically, and they, I don't know why, they just assume that Jace is like not one of them, and they like knock him out and throw him in a like this hangar, and they set a timer. Well, hang on. The timer magically sets itself because before the guy presses the button with his finger, the time changes.
Yeah.
Like just like a cell or two before he hits the button, it changes by itself. I don't know. Yeah, it was sloppy. So sloppy.
And at the last second, like, OK, and what this timer's doing is he's in an airlock. So when the timer goes off, he's going to be sucked out the airlock into the void of space and killed.
Right.
And the only way he's saved is because Oon comes up and then they go.
I was wondering why his hair looked like that.
Yeah.
Or why he had Audric's pendant.
Huh, it's all weird. It's like he's in some sort of disguise. He doesn't look a thing like Jace. So they rescue him, of course. Something funny that they said, because they thought he was a spy. When they put him in the airlock, they're like, that's the last spying he'll ever do.
The rest of this episode is kind of like, hey, your dad was working on some roots before he left. And these roots attach itself to anything metal.
The roots are magnetic, so yeah. they almost track metal to them.
He's like, cool, let's check this out. And they get like Flora on there, and the roots are trying to stick to Oon, and he's like, help, master. And Flora's just like, oh, cool. And and then the monster minds are like, attack. And then they're like running, and they let the roots loose basically on the ship, and it's basically ripping itself through the ship, attaching to everything. And then they're like, oh man, we really shouldn't have done that, because now we got to run from these roots. And they do. They get in a vehicle and they drive away, and Oon gets himself stuck for no real reason. Like, then they left Armed Force behind, didn't they?
That's what I wrote down, because I was like, did they just lose Armed Force right there?
Right there. Yeah, it's gone. The roots got it.
The roots got
because,
Armed Force.
Yeah, the roots stuck. You know what? I don't even think the roots had hit Armed Force. For whatever reason, they like stop Armed Force. They get out and start running. It's like Herc and Jace start running out of it. But Oon, for whatever reason, is still sitting in. He's not being grabbed by anything. He's just still sitting there.
But they have so much trouble pulling him out for some reason. It's he doesn't even have a seatbelt on. Like, there's nothing restraining him.
there's nothing restraining him at all. And he just won't get up. Maybe he's just really lazy. And, help me.
he's a drama queen. And
he really is.
Herc's cold was cured by, since I'm sure everyone's concerned, his cold was cured by
those
just
same roots.
Being around those plants, that's it.
Yeah.
And he feels better.
Stick to metal.
And
better.
Now, since this is the Black Nebula, and this is how Saw Boss and the Monster Minds would teleport to the other universe, these vines are now basically there protecting it. Not because the vines care, but because, hey, there's vines here. So they're protecting that space station.
Three times in this episode did somebody set a timer on the spaceship. I don't know why they keep setting timers, but they did it three times.
You know what? I also wrote down that the timer is like they're not well timed at all. Like
No.
At one point, the like the one where Jace was in the airlock, it jumped from 20 seconds to 1 second, like instantly. Of course, to add to the drama of him being saved to the last second, but it was like the way that time passed, it wouldn't have worked that way. So they did not think close. That through.
There was another, there's actually the second timer that they show. They set it to count down to something and it goes up 1 second before it starts going down.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, what the?
I remember that.
This doesn't make any sense.
No.
And also, Sawboss's design and color palette is actually a little different here than the first episode. I don't know if there's any reason for that or if they just felt like changing it, because Jace's was a little different too, because his hair is a little bit longer here, and his armor was colored a little bit differently before they turned it gray for no reason.
Yeah.
Maybe the pilot episode, they were just like, yeah, we don't like this. Let's change their colors. Sawboss was a lot more like blue in this one than green, like the first episode.
Yeah, and Sawboss pretty much just sits inside a throne room and calls people like idiots or something to that effect. Like he's most bosses like, do.
He's like Thanos from Avengers right now. He just sits in that chair.
Yeah, and commands.
Yeah, pretty much it. Oh, Gillian's wearing some sweet sunglasses.
Remember that. Yeah, he just
and
puts
I don't
them on.
Understand why.
Well, he puts them on like at the last second before he's about to do something. I guess I don't remember what he was actually even performing, but
to do a spell to pick up some chicks with his sunglasses on.
Yeah, I did write down that he put on some sweet shades. I just didn't put context to it, so I have no idea why.
I did the same thing.
So I guess let's move on to the last episode we watched for today's show. Final Ride at Journey's End, which is the last episode of the series itself, season one, right. Episode 65.
I actually, this is weird, but I actually really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah?
Like, it's so strange, but I actually liked it.
You know what? I liked most of it, but I'm just like, there was things that didn't sit well with me, but we'll talk about it. So in this one, they head for this planet. The group, the Lightning League, heads for this planet.
Well, yeah, what happened was they were kind of like winding down and about to go to bed. They're like, let's get some sleep so long as no one needs us. And immediately they get a call for help from Argus
Someone
4.
Needs, and they're like, help, we need being, you.
Yeah, they're being attacked by the monster mines. So they're like, well, son of a. So they're like, all right, I guess. And then.
And there's millions of people on this planet, so they have to help them.
It's the most populated area we've seen in this show so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Argus is actually a big deal in World of Warcraft, and I kind of wonder if they took the name from this. Because Warcraft does take a lot of things from pop culture.
That'd be interesting.
So I kind of wonder.
Yeah.
And it's a planet. Argus and World of Warcraft is a planet. So I'm.
And Argus
I would
is,
not be surprised.
Argus is full of elves, basically, or at least people with pointy ears.
Oh, yeah. The people on Argus 4 do have pointy ears.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that makes some sense. I bet you anything, I bet they did borrow it from this show.
Argus, well, Sawboss, he's trying to, what is his goal here? I guess just to take resources from them.
Yeah, you know what? I don't feel like it was really established why he was attacking. It was just kind of happening.
Then this other guy comes along who's very reminiscent of kind of a member of G-Force in a way. Just the way his art style was, he kind of reminded me of that.
You know, he did look way more anime than anything else in this show.
Yeah, and this guy's name was Aragon.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
We find out his world was destroyed by Sawboss. So he's out to help. Well, initially he's out to defend Argus 4, but also to avenge his planet. At least that's the idea we get initially. He's kind of an independent pilot. And what we think, he's going to help the group to fight Sawboss.
I do want to point out here that the writing, especially for the dialogue, was way, way, way better than all the other episodes. Like, it feels like each person finally has a personality. Yes, Herc is still basically Han Solo, but I think they just kind of gave up on trying to hide it, and they wrote him to talk exactly like Han Solo. and it worked. I mean, it's obviously a huge ripoff, but he was way more enjoyable this episode. Like, his interactions with the other characters, especially like Un, where he like threatens him with a can opener and things like
that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was actually pretty funny. And just everybody's writing and interaction was much better. Jace felt way more like an actual leader, especially when he's dealing with Aragorn, who's kind of like out of control and kind of a wild card, because they go into a battle with the Monster Minds and Aragorn uses antimatter, which has the potential to be, you know, absolutely destructive, and it's too reckless to be used. And well, Jace immediately gets on him.
Yeah, it's illegal in, I think, most... I think he said it's illegal.
He did say it's illegal, yeah.
Like in most sections of the universe. And it's not only that, but he's also dropping them while Jace and his team are down there fighting with the Monster Minds as well. So he's he's very recklessly doing this. He's aimed toward vengeance, but he doesn't really care who gets in his way.
Right, exactly. I think Aragorn, he ends up like sneaking out at night basically and gets in his ship, and he makes this decision that because the Monster Minds are on the planet, he makes this decision that the best thing he could do to stop the Monster Minds once and for all is just basically destroy the planet, because it would guarantee that everybody is taken out.
Yeah.
And he is willing to kill
millions,
like any number of innocents. Yeah. To make sure that the Monster Minds are destroyed. And, you know, I can appreciate his way of thinking, and that he's seeing this as sacrificing one planet to save all planets, to save all people.
Yeah. You know,
sacrificing these millions for countless trillions of people in the universe. So
it really comes down to like a moral dilemma at that point. And in that way, this episode was very well written, because these are, as far as what we had watched, the highest stakes that have been presented to us, and a very real space hero kind of scenario to play out. And I thought that was very cool, the direction that it was going. And what his idea is, or what he's doing, is he like programmed these thrusters on this planetoid to crash into the Argus IV. So he's basically making this other planet, kind of like bringing a moon down to crush the entire planet. But it should also be added that Sawboss and the Monster Minds, they have their home base, their primary base, is like this giant black seed type thing, and it can teleport wherever Sawboss needs it to go. And I don't know what they have to like build any kind of energy to do it. It seems like it can happen almost instantaneously when it needs to, but maybe it's something he has to charge up or whatever. I don't know. And so there's a lot at stake, but it's possible he could just teleport away. But he's also playing it smartly, because he's directing it towards the where the sun is, so that they can't like directly see it or detect it as it's coming towards them. So he did think it through, and I thought that was kind of clever that they actually added that. They didn't just leave a loose end there by saying, like, well, why didn't he just see the planet coming and teleport away? So they tried to cover that with that explanation.
Yeah, it was really smart, because he even says that his thought process was they won't see it coming until it's too late to escape.
Yeah.
So he's basically like, this is it. Like, they will die, and it's going to happen. And Jace figures out what's going on and gets on a ship and goes after him. And they're fighting like out in space. And what was weird here, though, this was my one complaint with this episode, is that Aragorn is like, he's so dead set on accomplishing this, he's ready to kill Jace to make sure this happens.
Yeah.
So as he's trying to kill Jace, it's playing this really happy sounding music. Like, didn't make any sense. It was just really like adventurous and happy go lucky. And I was like, what the? But
yeah,
that quickly ends. Like you said, that base that Sawboss and all the Monster Minds are in is able to teleport pretty much at will. So Sawboss sees that this is inevitable. He's like, all right, that's it. We can't stay here. We're out. Peace. And they teleport out. And Jace tells Aragorn, he's like, dude, like, they're gone. You're going to kill everybody for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not until that very moment he's like, well, I can't change the trajectory now, like it's too far along. So, and this was a cool part, I like this, where they were, where he was like, the only way it makes sense, and this even explains the title of it, like Last Ride at Journey's End,
right,
he decides he has to crash into the planetoid himself, still being armed with all the antimatter weaponry, which is how that comes into play. So I like how that's brought back and it's not just a throwaway. So because he has so much of it on his ship, when he does crash into this planetoid, it obliterates it basically, and he's able to kind of make amends for what he had done. And the way that I think the way that Jace kind of tried to explain it is to just say that he did something very heroic. Like, he didn't shame him for doing it in the first place, which I thought was nice. Like, he let him go out with some dignity and explain that he was the one that saved the world. I don't think he even explained to everyone else that he was the one who initially set it on track for Argus IV.
Yeah.
He essentially is like, this guy just saved your life, so he's died a hero. And I thought that was a great way to close that out.
Yeah, same here. Like, I really enjoyed that. And it was much more thoughtful than anything else we've seen out of the show. It was almost like a completely different show, because this felt like it had a lot of emotion and a lot of thoughtfulness and a lot of weight to it, to the story and to the characters.
Yeah.
This was something they should have done right off the bat. I mean, they needed this kind of writing.
Yeah, there was actual heart to this episode. And I wonder, I mean, we watched up to episode 30 before that. So I wonder in between there where the episode started to pick up, or if they did, or if it was just this particular episode happened to be a standout.
You know, because this is the kind of writing that I would attribute to Michael J. Straczynski. Like, this kind of story is the kind of stuff that he's good at. I don't know when that switched over, but. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. This was weird for me because watching this episode, I was like, man, if this is how it is, I would continue watching more of this because I enjoyed it.
Yeah, if they had
started. But the other episodes were awful.
Right. If they had started with something like this, it could have put it on a much better trajectory. Because by this, I think what's funny also was that, and I don't know how true this is, but I think by the time the show actually was produced and started coming out, the toy line had already been canceled, or at least production of the toys had already been canceled because it was a failure on the forefront. I don't know if that's true or not, but I did read that. Coming into it.
Oh my goodness. So they pretty much made it for nothing.
Basically, yeah, because there was not really anything to drive it towards at that point. So I think it was just like they probably, you know, commissioned 65 episode run and they're like, all right, well, we'll finish that. But after that, it's in the can. I mean, there's nothing else to do with it.
Right.
So that's kind of unfortunate, especially if it was picking up like this. Well, Chris, looks like it's about time we jump into Jace's armed force vehicle, pick up our inner kids with that awkward golden crane arm, and see what they thought of Jace and the Wheeled Warriors while we drive around starting forest fires. These plants can't be trusted.
I don't get it. So the bad guys are plants that turn into monsters, that turn into big trucks in outer space, and their biggest threat is a kid whose hair looks like a skunk and controls cars with a magic ring, and his helpers are a tiny robot jouster, a girl made out of plants, Han Solo and a lame space Gandalf. I'm so confused, but I still gave this cartoon 2.5 bowls of plants that turn into cereal out of 5.
First off, this cartoon was far from stellar, not to mention an obvious marketing ploy. Some of the characters were a little too inspired by characters from other franchises, and come on, did the show really need an elder space wizard mechanic? No. No, it did not. With all that said, you may be surprised to hear that I actually sort of enjoyed this cartoon. I think that's mostly because it got so ridiculous that it turned out to be kind of fun. While the execution was hit or miss, the concept was at least interesting for something they had to basically pull out of thin air, so he gets points for that. I'd give Jason and Wheeled Warriors 3.5 big bowls of tasty cereal that ends up being a big bowl of not-so-tasty lead out of 5, and I need to figure out how to get myself one of those loyal eternal knights like Oon. I'd never have to do chores again!
Yeah. See what you can do, because chores are still the bane of my existence, and, they never end.
They were probably created by plants. Plants were like, hey, do chores. And we're like, no, because plants are evil.
Yeah. So, and Smokey Bear is working with them. Only you can prevent forest fires. Nay, I say
Smokey
to that.
Smokey Bear is the real Saw Boss.
He is.
Smokey Bear.
He's Saw Boss in disguise. You take that mask off, it's Saw Boss.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. That'd be hilarious.
So, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts on this show. I think that what they did with what they had was kind of admirable. I mean, at first it seemed like, we don't know what we're doing. Let's put this together. It was kind of messy. But once you got to episode 65, the last episode at least, it had pulled itself together. Like you said, these characters started having more personalities. They were more discernible from one another. And they felt more real as actual characters, even with the strange settings. So I think that had it been able to continue, it really could have picked up. And season 2 plus could have been fantastic for all we know. I mean, if they maybe, and this is far, far stretched, and I don't think it'll ever happen, but maybe Netflix will pick it up like they did Voltron and make it into something amazing. I think they could, but will they? Who knows?
Yeah, honestly, like, this is probably the weirdest premise for a cartoon I've ever seen. And I think the big flaw going into this is that it was just so obvious that this was a vehicle, pun intended, to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
I was so ready, especially after those first two episodes, to give this a really bad score. Like, I mean, I was going with a 1. But seeing the final episode, like, really saved this for me. It had so much more depth. It had some actual complex character development with a lot of emotional weight. And that really surprised me. Not something I expected after having watched those first episodes. So, like we kind of talked about, I imagine at some point the writers had to have found their place and started making better choices or as good of choices as they could with what they were dealing with. So, but kudos to them for taking something and actually improving it as the show went on. Like I said, don't know when it happened, but at some point it happened. So,
yeah. So would you recommend that people watch this show?
It's hard to say.
What if we say at least watch the very last episode?
Yeah, I would say at least watch the last episode because it really doesn't have anything in the way of like watching that's not going to ruin the rest of the show for you. So if you watch it and you like it, carefully go back and start watching other episodes.
Yeah, pick and choose.
You could get horribly disappointed, but that last episode was actually very good. And, you know, if I was rating just the last episode by itself, I would probably give it like a 4 or 4.5. But because it's with those other two we watched, like those other two episodes brought it down dramatically.
Yeah, no, so very true. Thank you, Brody, for suggesting this to us. It was an experience, to say the least. And let us know if you feel the same way about the last episode. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but if not, please check that out. I promote that last episode highly.
Yeah. Any listeners that have seen the show or are interested in seeing the show, let us know what you thought about it. Like, especially if you watch the last episode and a different episode, just how they compare and contrast. Just let us know what you think on our Twitter or Facebook or something like that, or in the comments on YouTube. We'd love to know.
Well, listeners, looks like our milk supply has now run dry, so it's time for us to say goodbye. And next week, we'll be watching
Troll Hunters, submitted via YouTube by The Precise Climber.
Troll Hunters?
Troll Hunters.
Zalboss. Interesting. I've never heard of that.
Actually, Troll Hunters, and you will be excited about this, I think, was created by Guillermo del Toro.
Interesting. And this was a Saturday morning cartoon?
It's on Netflix, I believe.
I'm so confused because there's a Troll Hunter movie that's not a cartoon and it's a horror movie.
This is something completely different.
I'm in. I'm going to watch it. Hopefully it's amazing.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yes.
Sawboss.
Sawboss.
Once again, I'm Joseph.
And I'm Chris. Boss.
Chris Boss. We'll see you next Saturday.
Presented by NerdSloth,
a place for lazy nerds.
If you like what you heard, consider donating at patreon.com/nerdsloth so we can continue bringing you quality shows. Be sure to also leave us a review and share your favorite episodes and clips on social media. If you're looking for more content, visit us at nerdsloth.com.